Folks, welcome once again. This is Elvin Shamroth here to teleseminar. And since we always get new people signing on, even at the end of the year, just very briefly, the way it works, we typically get people to volunteer and submit questions regarding typically cases on their cases. They're not sure how to handle, how to defend, how to present them. They send them to me, and then they and I have a conversation about this. Everyone is muted except the active participants, and invariably the conversation is relevant not only to that individual, but to everyone listening in. And it's really a lot of fun and very helpful. Now, I will tell you, this typically happens in the beginning of the year. People are very shy to volunteer. This year, this shyness has been present on steroids. And so we're about more than a month or two into our seminars. This is, I think, the fourth one or so. And we don't have any active participants today, and that really it's a pity. It's sad, and it's not so much fun because it's not excuse me, it's not as beneficial as it otherwise might be. So what I'm going to do today, like I've done in past occasions, I am going to open it up. And I ask that you make sure there's no background noise, because that will come through into the teleconference and be prohibitive. So please make sure there's no background noise. I'm going to unmute everyone, and if you have a question or a concern, a patient you're not sure how to handle, please just shout out your first name. I'll acknowledge, and then we'll have a conversation. So I'm going to unmute. Hold on one second. I want to unmute. How do I do that? Open mode. Okay. So first of all, thank you. There's no background noise. I'm going to throw it open to you folks. Anyone with a case they're not sure how to handle, or any question for that matter relating to the exam, just shout out your first name. So go ahead. Folks, you won't have this option in the exam to think about, do you want to have a discussion? You're going to be forced to have a discussion. So please, if no one volunteers, this is going to be a very short session. So again, let me throw it out.
you're right now?
Yes, yeah. What's your first name?
God, it's five.
Say again? This is someone I think has just joined us in the middle. I'm asking for volunteers. If anyone has a question, a case, a concern, please shout out your first name and acknowledge. Go ahead. Who is that? Still too shy. Come on, folks. Like I said, if no one shouts out, this is going to be a very short session. And it's a waste. It's really a good opportunity for you folks. So come on. I need someone to give me a name and we can have a conversation. You folks, every single one of you have cases that you're worried about. You're not sure. There's a complication. How might they ding you? You've got issues. You're just scared to shout out your name. And don't. I'm a benign, benevolent guy. I'm not going to give you a tough ride. But it's important. It's important for you to practice talking and defending your decisions. So please, I need a volunteer. Come on, let's try this one more time. Just shout out, someone shout out your first name, and I will acknowledge.
My name is Tammy. I have a case that's not truly complicated.
Okay. What was the first name? Cindy, did you say?
No, it's Tammy.
Tammy. Thank you very much for volunteering and standing up. Go ahead. Let's have your question, your concern. What's cooking on your case list, on your preparation?
So I truly don't have complications, and that's my issue, but I guess the most complex case I have is a patient who had retained placenta after vaginal delivery, was taken to a DNC, postpartum hemorrhage, then got readmitted for endometritis, and then got readmitted again a second time, and then had to have a DNC. And so I guess the ding would be, why didn't we catch the retained products the first time she was readmitted? But really, that's the only case that's not straightforward.
So I'm so pleased you brought this up, because it's a microcosm of a much bigger issue, and it absolutely is important to everyone that everyone understands this issue. Ironically, Tani, the case that you mentioned is actually a magnificent case, and I'm happy to go over it with you. Retained products can still be retained. We feel embarrassed when it happens, but it does happen, and it's just unfortunate. But there's a bigger issue here. And just by the way, Tani, the specifics of your case are actually not relevant to everyone else. But I do want to encourage you, send that case as an attachment, as it appears on your cases, to my office, info@examfro.com, attention Shamroth with respect to teleseminar, and put in your telephone numbers. I'll phone you back, and we'll have a one-on-one conversation. I don't want to waste other people's time. But you brought up a very important issue. All of you listening in, you heard Tani said her case was very bland and uncomplicated. She only had one interesting case. Now, I will tell you, and I can say this because over the last 25 years, I've reviewed well over 1,000 case lists easily, and I know what the typical case list contains. And I'm telling you all of you have complications, or you have inadvertent errors, or you have contradictions on your case list, or inconsistencies. And I really don't mind if you have these, but what I get sleepless nights over is worrying that you're not aware that you've got these issues. You've all got issues on your cases. I just don't want the examiner to be the one who brings it to your attention for the first time in the exam, because then you're facing a firing squad. You don't have time to think about the case and consider what happened. You're under tremendous pressure. So I will tell you that pretty much everyone has complications. It's a rare excuse me, folks, I'm sorry. It's a rare case when I come across a case which is genuinely straightforward, simple, and benign. And those caseless are actually problematic. Why? Because they're so benign. There's nothing interesting or juicy for the examiner to sink his or her teeth into. And so there's not much they can ask you about. I mean, examiners would love to talk to you about why did you perf the uterus? Why did you get a bowel laceration? Why did you injure the ureter? Why was there fluid overload? I'm just listing one complication after another. These are interesting cases. And if you don't have any of those, the examiner doesn't have anything, can't find much in your case list to sink his or her teeth into. They can't ask you enough questions to keep them going for half an hour, which is what each of OBGYN and office is allocated as far as cases is concerned. They don't stay attached to the case list for half an hour. Maybe it'll keep them attached as a source of questions for 15 minutes, 20 minutes maybe, but for the last 10 minutes, they've exhausted your case list. And they're just going to ask questions off the top of their head. Now, with respect to your case list, you can work out, and it's not difficult, and I'll get the plug-in. We discussed this in detail at our cases construction course. You can work out, based on what's written on each case, what the probable questions are going to be on that case. It's not difficult. But if the examiner is asking questions just off the top of their head, you can't do that. So it's the luck of the draw. Whatever they ask you, you've got to face that. Now, having heard that, many of you might be thinking, but I wish I had complications basing on what you're saying, Shamroth, but I don't. And even if you feel that way, there's a solution. We can legitimately create complications. Now, that sounds wild. Let me give you an example. Virtually every single one of you have several hysteroscopy cases on your case list. Every time we do a hysteroscopy, we always, at the back of our mind, are always keeping an eye on ins and outs with respect to fluid, because we don't want the patient to become fluid overloaded. So, if you've got, as you believe, no complications on your case list, I would tell you, go ahead and create them. So, in the case of fluid overload, you might not have had any cases of water intoxication. But on any of your operative cases, you can go ahead in the complications column, right? Concern for water intoxication. Now, they would ask you, if you wrote that down, why were you concerned? And you could say, look, I got very close to the point where I would have had to consider stopping. I never got to that point, but it was a concern. Once you've received that first question, a whole discussion on water intoxication is pretty much around the corner, because they will probably say, well, how do you determine when there's water intoxication? How do you make the diagnosis? How do you prevent it? How do you treat it? And there's your water intoxication discussion. And another classical example, I may even have mentioned this in one of the previous teleseminars. I can say this because, again, I've reviewed hundreds and hundreds of case lists. Virtually none of you put down as a complication in the OB list the fact that the patient is Rh negative. ISA immunization is a magnificent discussion to have in the exam. And if you've got a case like that on your case list, excuse me, you can prepare for it and be that much better ready for it and score that much higher. And virtually none of you put this down as a complication. So all I say to you in the antepartum complications column, write down Rh negative, and then in the treatment column, write down Rogam per protocol, or no Rogam given if none was given, and be prepared to discuss why. And once you write there Rogam per protocol, you're almost assured that the examiner will ask you, well, what is your protocol? And then you get your ISA immunization discussion going. So there's an example of how you can introduce something onto your cases which wasn't there. Tanya, give me any. I'm going to put myself to the test because this is difficult. Tanya, give me any category in OBGYN or office where you would like to be able to introduce. Oh, I've got a good one. I'm not even going to put it to you. On any of your GYN laparoscopy cases. And maybe even TVH, but not so much. If you want to get a conversation going on the course of the ureter and injuries of the ureter, where do they typically occur? How do they occur? What are the basic principles of repair? These are typical things that we prefer not to talk about. But if you have written, excuse me, I'm sorry, folks, I'm still recovering from a cough that I had since the first case, the first teleseminar, so I apologize for all this hacking. This is a non-smoker's hack, but never mind. If you've got a case on your case where it speaks to, let's say you put the words down in the complications column. Concern for ureteric anatomy. They will ask you, tell me, why were you concerned? What is the course of the ureter? When in the performance of a hysterectomy are you most likely to catch the ureter? And again, what are the basic principles? So we're always concerned for catching the ureter. But if you actually mention it on paper, that then becomes a discussion point. And so I encourage you to do this. Don't overdo it, but especially if you feel you've got too few complications or you've got too much of a lackluster case list, it's too bland, then I strongly want to recommend that you do some of these things. So, Tani, getting back to you, I'm not going to discuss the specific case because it's very particular, and I'm happy to discuss it with you over the phone. Just send me your telephone number and an email, and I'll phone you back, and we can discuss this. But Tani, what I mentioned about the background normal case list, does that make sense to you? How you can spruce it up and make it more interesting for the examiner?
Yes, thank you for the tips.
Okay. Any other questions that you may have, Tani?
No, that was it.
That was it. Okay, fine. Thanks for volunteering. I'm going to throw it up out to anyone else. Anyone with a complication or a concern, shout out your first name. I'll acknowledge it, and we'll have a conversation. So I'll throw it open to you folks. Come on. Don't be shy. Yes, what's the name?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Thank you so much for volunteering. Go ahead and let's hear your question.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I have a case regarding a complication from a hysterectomy that was done by another member of my group. And my specific concern regarding this case that it's for someone who had a hysterectomy for, I guess, gender-affirming surgery. And when we were reviewing the case within our group, I just feel like there's so little data about complications regarding this specific patient situation that I wonder just like, and also just limited data on people who are on gender-affirming hormone therapy. I was just curious how I might be able to prepare for something like that when there's not a lot of data or maybe clear recommendations or guidelines.
Your question is actually very important. It brings up a general principle which I have used, which people seem astounded when I say it, but it's really so damn obvious. Always be blatantly honest. So if the examiner were to turn around to you and say, were there, and I think this is the question you're worried about, were there any issues relating to this particular patient that made the hysterectomy a little harder, a little more difficult, or a little different to the usual? That's your question you're worried about, yes?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So if you're confronted with that question, you be blatantly honest. So I'm gonna role play, and we're discussing this case in the context of gender affirming surgery, but the principle pertains to anything in OBGYN. So the way I would answer that question, I would say, you know, this was a case which is not done very often in these days, and the issue that you've raised was exactly the same issue that I was asking when we did this. And we tried to do some research, and at this point in time, I found that there's not much in the literature to speak to this. I thought maybe if they were on hormone therapy, that might have changed the quality of the tissue. But I didn't find anything that related specifically to hysterectomies for these patients. So the short answer is I'm not aware of anything, and I don't think the literature on this is there, but I'm pretty sure it will come through in the ensuing several years. How does that sound to you? And be honest, Nancy, be honest. How does it sound to you as you hear me say it?
I think that sounds like something I would feel comfortable saying.
Yeah, the reason you feel confident and comfortable, and the reason why it really works every time, is because it is the truth. Not only that, but you've told your examiner that I am a conscientious OBGYN, and when I'm doing something that is maybe a little out of the ordinary, I'm going to do extra work just to make sure that I'm not caught by surprise. You're sending a very powerful message to your examiner that you're a conscientious and, most important of all, safe surgeon. So I would take the open approach. Tell them you looked it up, you didn't find anything. You should feel totally comfortable to hypothesize in the absence of any definitive work and studies on this. You can hypothesize that maybe the tissues were a little stronger or weaker, whatever the case may be, but you didn't know. And at the end of the day, the surgery was actually very uneventful. You can give your opinion. That's absolutely fine. So that's how I would recommend you handle that issue. You're okay with that, Nancy?
Yes, that was very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, I'll take one more. If there's anyone else who has a concern, a question, a problem on their cases, shout out your first name. I'll acknowledge, and then we'll have a conversation. Go ahead. Don't be shy, folks. There's no one. Come on. If we don't find someone now, this pretty much will be a very, very short teleseminar. Anyone? Let's try one more time. Anyone want to shout out their first name? Still not. Okay. Folks, let me share with you. This is a plea as well as a threat. This is the third time I've had no one submit a case to me. When we do this again in 2 weeks' time, if no one submits a case to me, I'm just going to shut down the teleseminar because we're neither you folks nor I am getting the kind of benefits that we can from a real open discussion where there's a real case that I've got in front of me and it's really concerning. I don't like to do it just open mic, so to speak, like we did today. So please, tell your friends to come and join. It's free. Volunteer to be on the hot seat. That's really important. It's not the best way to do it the way we're doing it currently. So with that being said, I will thank our two volunteers, Tani and Nancy. Thank you so much for volunteering. And to the rest of you, please, when we do this again in 2 weeks' time, please volunteer. I think it'll be the 29th, I guess, is a Sunday. So please submit cases, and we'll do this again then in 2 weeks' time. That's it. Thanks to everyone who joined, and all the best. Take care. Bye-bye.